Hello, welcome to another episode of Geekly Revealed. It's that show that brings you geeky news on a weekly basis. That's geeky, that's weekly, that's geekly. And hey, it was me all along, your host Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by my magical co-host. Would you like to tell the people who it is that you probably are?
I mean, I'm probably not a real radio host. Y'all were doing your, smooth listening voices before we got started, and I was like, do I sound like Delilah if I try to? But yeah, you know, I'm here, I'm queer, I'm Stephanie, I'm podcasting, you know the biz, and then there's that other person.
Hey there, all you cool cats, it's me, Eric, here in the third seat on this week's episode of The Geekly Reveal. I'm coming to you live here on this Sunday night, gonna bring you some cool down tunes.
And then you'll hear this on, Wednesday afternoon and be like, what the fuck?
Yep.
That's how it goes. Hey, when you hear cool cats, do you think more of Carole Baskin or Derek Savage? And I think it depends on what kind of the internet you're on.
I don't think of either of those things.
Good for you, because I think of both. My life is garbage.
That's what being bisexual means, Dom. I think of Carole Baskin, but it's because my family, my sister has, a very, heavy affection for Big Cat Rescue. She and Will had been to visit them, way before Tiger King became a thing, and, genuinely thinks... I have no opinion one way or the other. She genuinely thinks it's a good place, and so whenever I hear hey there, all you cats and kittens, I'm like, oh boy.
I just know in the movie Cool Cat Saves the Kids, Cool Cat's dad, who is a human, is also married to a cat, and at one point he's like, "Hey, you fine looking kitty cat, you," and it's like, so
they wanted to be, that's a fine looking pussy, but they had to cut that out for it to be good for kids,
right? And it's just awkward because it's like, wait a minute, so I mean, in our universe these are clearly two people in cat costumes, but in this universe this is a man who had a baby with another cat.
Man, speaking of at least two people in cat costumes, did you know that on the HBO...
Yeah, I miss cons too.
On the HBO streaming app, it categorizes the film Cats from 2019 as a children's movie.
I could see why that is.
Ooh, I wonder if it's Go ahead, Dom.
No, I just mean because I don't think there's anything that's... specifically on purpose offensive or sexual. I mean, it is those things,
other than,
but it's not on purpose. Yeah, it's not on purpose, you know. It's kind of like that the dick that's in Super Mario 3D World.
Yes,
I mean, yeah, that was on fair. purpose, but you know, does it actually look like a dick, like a real dick? So, but yeah, what were you gonna say, Steph?
Oh, I was gonna say, I wonder if it's one of those things, I think it was Coraline that the editor who was going to acquire it thought it was too scary, and then her kid read it and was like, oh no, this is an adventure, mom, we should do it, you should buy it, because kids think adults read it and think it's fucked up, and then kids read it and they're like, oh yeah, Coraline's a kid going on an adventure. And I wonder if
Cats is just that.
Yeah, if you don't,
it's similar to that, if you don't have fair. A frame of reference, you're not as terrified.
It's like that joke that kids can't feel pain because they don't know that they're supposed to. They'll fall off a roof and be like, oh, that hurt a little bit. But they'll cry as soon as they see blood. It didn't start to hurt just now. Your arm is dislocated out of your body. yeah, but I couldn't see it. Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, or they wait to, parents who are you gotta react, chill when they're upset because they're looking to you to see how they should react when they get hurt. And,
see?
If you're look, you scraped your knee, we should better put a band-aid on that, they'll be less freaked out than if you're oh my god, honey, are you okay?
Kids are followers. I hate it.
If you just laugh maniacally, you create a monster.
That's how you get Ted Cruz. You teach someone to laugh at pain, and they just keep on doing it.
Well, I mean, his dad killed JFK, and then Ted Cruz went on to kill all those people in San Francisco in the 70s, yeah. So.
Isn't it weird the Zodiac Killer's gonna have to, release another cipher being guys, it's Like, here's who I actually am, because I'm not Ted Cruz. Like, don't associate me with that guy.
Zodiac Killer, not actually Ted Cruz.
Yeah. Don't be mean to the Zodiac Killer. One could make the claim that Ted Cruz...
He already has enough white women talking about him.
You can make the claim that Ted Cruz has a higher body count than the Zodiac Killer.
I was going to say the same thing. I feel like at this point, Ted Cruz is responsible for more deaths.
Yeah, so it could have been prevented, too. That's wild. So welcome to the food corner. We're going to talk about food, because we always do that. I'm going to talk about my food real fast, because it's short. Again, it's a drink, but I had some nice tea. My partner bought some loose leaf tea for people for gifts over Christmas, and there's just some that she knew just people weren't going to want based on their taste, but I did because it's peppermint. So I had some candy cane tea from a place called Sub Rosa Tea, and it was delicious. It's home produced, and it had black tea, candy cane pieces, and peppermint as the ingredients. It was quite delicious. So, yeah, it's pretty fun. I had basically 2 cups worth in here the way that I brewed it. So.
That sounds way better than the food shit that I did this week.
Yeah, you two get into food mistakes. I don't know what the hell that is.
I think it's like a side effect of caucasity.
I think it's a side effect of cheese poisoning.
I think it's just like somehow a side effect of like me and Steph's existence specifically, like in certain cases. Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell me about your food disasters. Or just food disasters in general, I guess.
Yeah. So, like, I didn't really have a food disaster. I went to the White Castle.
Okay, so I don't believe you already.
So you had a food disaster, yeah. Nah.
there's an area of town that I live in that's near the college campus, and I once drunkenly walked by the White Castle with a group of friends, and they asked if I wanted to eat there while I was inebriated, and I said no, because that's where they bury the people who die of fat.
were you wrong?
No. But anyways, it's their Lent menu. So they have like all the fish stuff. Yeah, they've got, I had clam strips, fried clam strips, and crab cake sliders.
Actually sounds all right.
Much less bad than regular.
Yeah, they were actually like quite good. Like, not gonna lie. I enjoyed my experience with that. I was very trepidatious about ordering clam strips from White Castle, but...
Fair enough. Fair.
You know, because that was kind of like, just felt risky, but I felt like it was less risky than the shrimp nibblers.
Yeah.
Mainly because I just don't like that word.
No, that does... It's bad. Yeah.
And I feel like shrimp has... Like, clams are fairly, like, small. This is, like, completely unfounded in science, but I feel like clams have less flesh to be bad. Like, yeah. I feel like shrimp are larger and therefore have a larger possibility to be off in some way.
Yeah, and, like, I'm sure the whatever the shrimp nibblers are just, like, fried shrimp bits or whatever, but still wasn't gonna risk it.
The bits.
Give me them shrimp bits.
It reminds me of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas when you go to the Cluckin' Bell, and they're like, the chewy parts are food, sir. And you're like, ugh. But it restores your health, yikes. So, you know.
Yeah. Steph, what about you? Did you have any food experiences this week?
I didn't have any major food experiences of a negative fashion. I did decide that I was going to observe Lent this year for whatever that's worth to me, a lapsed Catholic, like vaguely agnostic person. But all that meant was like fasting on Wednesday and no meat on Friday, so I just ate a lot of mac and cheese on Friday.
Mac and cheese, the other white meat.
Right. But I went grocery shopping yesterday, and there was a sale on Celestial Seasonings.
The tea?
And I got the tea, yeah, and I got, it was 3 for $10, and I, got a vanilla fireside spice, okay. I think it was called. It had, like, vanilla, cardamom, ginger, and, like, a tiny little bit of licorice taste in it, but it tastes like a gingerbread cookie. It's so good. It's far better than it has any right to be, and I highly recommend.
That does sound good.
Nice.
Very good. It smelled good, and then it has a little bit of the ginger kick to the taste. It was...
So there is one thing we are missing out on, though.
That's how we closed this out.
Yeah, the thing that made waves this week was Meat Mountain.
Meat Mountain.
Which I actually, upon seeing Meat Mountain, I was at first disgusted and then realized that I kind of have already eaten that before. Sure. Because I'm pretty sure that Arby's has done the same thing, but they didn't call it Meat Mountain at the time.
No, I feel like you're right, actually thinking on it. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, and I don't know if maybe last time it didn't have, the fried chicken patty under or something, because I remember having it but not having fried chicken.
Well, you weren't living then, sounds like.
I don't know, Arby's is known for its cold cuts. Arby's is not known for its fried chicken. So,
I don't disagree. Their chicken fingers are really good.
Yeah. I guess that's true because they're not known for their fish sandwiches, but their fish sandwiches are pretty good.
Yeah, so. I really like their... If I'm having an Arby's day, I'm probably going to get chicken fingers and curly fries.
That's fair.
But
I don't know. You know, people were just going mad on the internet over Meat Mountain, mainly for its name, I think. But, And I think also because it was there was a picture that someone posted of it and it just looked foul, because it was just a very poorly made one.
I think the thing about Meat Mountain is, first of all, to explain what the fuck it is, it is a sandwich that contains
all of the meat,
all of the different meats that Arby's offers, plus a slice of Swiss and a slice of cheddar or something like that. And the promotional photos of it, I'd fuck with that. The realism.
Yeah, the real actual photos of it.
The real actual photos of it are not as appetizing. They look a little nasty patty.
Yeah, they look discolored and smushed. Because, there's whole industries dedicated to food photography. So, that none of those ingredients on that promotional picture are real. That it's all just, made up to look as good as possible.
Yeah, but that was designed by someone whose job it was to design it to look nice.
Yeah, but damn son, you could have at least made it look appetizing when you make it in real life. They just didn't expect anybody to order it.
They have sorely underestimated the dumb shit that I will put in my mouth after a year in quarantine.
Yeah.
I probably would have eaten it before the year of societal trauma, but...
I mean, it's one of those things where I would probably eat it once and then be like, wow, my stomach is rebelling against me, never again, and then promptly do it again sometime.
Oh, yeah, no, this would not be a meal that went down in a peaceful gastrointestinal experience.
It's a polite way of putting it, yes.
as generously as possible. It's just, at the very least, you are going to have, profound meat sweats.
Oh yeah. If you're someone like me who has, blood pressure or heart problems, you'll probably get some palpitations and need to lie down. And, that's how it goes sometimes.
That's just how it be sometimes. But yes, that's the... I don't want to say it's good or bad. That's the neutral start on which we are beginning our episode this week.
Cool. Yeah, this was actually a pretty busy week. A lot of stuff happened, I think. A lot of big news. A lot of it was video game based. So I say we save that towards the end, just to, in case people don't want to hear about nothing but video games. We can kind of say that for the end, a.k.a. 15 minutes from now.
Yeah,
we'll circle back. Other things.
I was going to say, most of this episode is going to end up being video game related news of some sort. So, yeah, apologies.
Yeah, so we'll do the reverse order and start with the quick things, then we'll go into Steph's big topic, and then we'll go into Eric and my big topic, which is basically, hey, video games happened. From two companies that we all swore we weren't going to give any more money to, so let's see how that goes.
And then a tangentially video games related thing happened.
Oh, yeah, that always happens.
Yeah.
So, some quick things. Steven Universe dropped another PSA, as we predicted would happen. And this one had Amethyst, and it was about race. Steph, do you remember this one?
Yeah, so, they've all been about race
Yeah, that's true.
It's literally, the campaign is literally about being an anti-racist.
That's true. I just remember the Stefani one was about gender and stuff. So I for some reason lumped that in with these ones just because it's the same universe.
Same crew.
Yeah.
I mean, like, all the Crystal Gems ones have been.
Right.
But, so this one was about, this one had Amethyst and some, like, kids and was tackling the old canard of, I don't care if you're black, white, or purple.
Yes.
And saying that, like, no, like, it's important to, like, talk about, like, the things that make us different and the way that that difference has shaped our experiences in life. And it's not a bad thing to be different. And, like, the way that we fight injustice isn't by ignoring it. It's by, like, acknowledging it and dismantling it.
Yep. And I guess they did have to wait for this one to be Amethyst, because, like, Pearl and Garnet are, like, depending on the art, are kind of human-colored. Like,
yeah.
If they change their shape ever so slightly, Garnet could pass as a black woman and Pearl could pass as, like, a light-skinned woman of whatever race she chose, I suppose. But, and then there's Amethyst, who's just straight-up purple. Like, wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah. So, like, how do you feel like this one, because we were talking about the other two, like, in so much, like, insofar as how they specifically tied to the Gem in Question's character arc.
Sure.
Like, whatchamacallit, like, Garnet's was about, like, people being together, who, like, society says they should be together, and Pearl's was about, like, history and being honest. Like, do you feel like this one was tied to something of Amethyst? Like,
I mean,
like, acknowledging difference from other, like, people, like, because she's a tiny.
Yeah, like, slightly. She's about, like, see me for who I actually am, like, not who you should. Like, there's, like, a lot of her stories based on, like, appearances and expectations. And, mm-hmm. like, see me for who I actually am. That's the loosest I can do. I think a lot of it just really is the I don't care if you're black, white, or purple, so we found the purple crystal gem.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe if they add Bismuth, Peridot, and Lapis, they could go other directions. There might be something that's more thematically resonant with them. So, like, I just give Amethyst, like, the purple one, because she's the purple one that we can't tie to something else. But I think it might just be, you know, see me for what I am. Don't try to ignore, like, my differences, you know? Like, see me for my differences. I'm a small Amethyst, but I can still do some work. Look, she's an Amethyst. She has the spin dash like all the rest of them. She's like all the other, like, whatever that classification of gems is. Because I guess Jasper was also...
Quartzes,
yeah. Which leads us to believe that the other Rose Quartzes should have also been able to spin dash. So this is a fact that Rose Quartz never did should have been a tell that she wasn't actually a Quartz. Spoilers.
Yeah. God.
Just like Quartz Quadrant, third level on Sonic CD. But yeah, I think that's all it really is just a couple things. This is good. It's good. Don't be racist, kids.
Yeah, but it was good. Don't be racist. In fact, not just don't be racist, be anti-racist.
Yes.
Which is the thing.
And one of the ways you can do that is by being inclusive with your iOS emojis, I suppose. Better late than never.
I guess.
Wow.
So
it's like, it's very funny to me because, like, all of my group chats that are in text are with iMessage people. Like, I didn't realize that, like, everyone else had, like, interracial emojis already?
Yep. I think Facebook kind of does, but I don't really use Facebook Messenger that much. Like, they're making it worse and worse for some reason. It seems like there's another sub-company. But yeah, so I don't know. Like, it seems like all of Facebook's sub-companies are getting worse, like Instagram and Messenger, but, like, the Prime product is staying as good as it could be. it doesn't seem to be getting actively worse. Function-wise, content-wise, that's a little harder, but yeah, the first thing I saw when you sent us this was another instance of, man, people really love Apple. Like, this is something that Android did at least a year ago.
Yeah.
And iPhone's finally now catching up, which doesn't make any sense to me because it's not like they don't have the money or the resources to do it or the pressure to do it.
And, like, emoji, like, the Unicode people, like, like, they came up with this a while, like, if they're the ones who picked the emojis and they came up with this a while ago, like,
yeah. Right.
Apple just had to design what they wanted them to look like and drop them in your iOS.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you're a Discord user, you can just make your own emojis and they can be whatever you want, so.
Well, that's true, you know. But you have a limit, and unfortunately we can't replicate all the permutations that these give us.
That's true. I mean, yeah.
But also in Discord, everyone's just that, like, cartoon yellow color.
It's true.
But they do have, like, the different gender alignments. Everybody's a Simpsons
character.
But yeah, there's, like, you know, same-sex couples. I think there's non-binary characters in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I know there are on the iTunes one. I don't know if there are in Discord, though, but the Unicode ones.
Discord, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Discord, everyone's just the Simpsons, but in the Unicode, yeah, there's, hey, there's Mr. Claus, there's Mrs. Claus, and there's...
like, Nick's Claus, yeah.
Of all the different skin tones.
Person with, like, a girl kind of haircut, but a beard? Like, a little goatee?
Yeah. So, they do different ones with different, like, characters, too. Like, I think there's a... Like the gender neutral, like marriage person is like a sort of just a different fitting suit, they have all three gender groups in a suit, like the boy one, the girl one, and then the non-binary one. I think they do the same with dresses too, and then different combinations. Yeah. So it's kind of cool. And doesn't hurt anybody to be more inclusive.
Yeah.
Truly does not.
So that's pretty nifty.
Like to see people who are grumpy about it stop using emojis.
Right. Well, I mean, to be fair, I can't, like, I don't really use emojis.
No, but your problem isn't with the inclusion, it's with the system itself. You're like, yeah. Yo, fuck emojis. Well, what about adding non-binary people? Well, yeah, if we're gonna have them, fine, but we shouldn't be using it at all. Like, okay, that's fine, you know, it's okay. which is a silly thing
to say.
Yeah,
that's completely different.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like, yeah, we shouldn't have prison guards, but I guess if we're going to have them, we should have more female and non-binary prison guards. The limit to someone's job should not be based on their gender. It should be based on that job shouldn't exist. That's hot take. Sorry for the hot take.
What if hottest take, all jobs shouldn't exist?
Hey, that's the dream. I simply do not dream of labor.
I'll say all work should not exist, because jobs should exist. I've seen Final Fantasy, and I know there's a very important job system. And my job in this world could be to entertain, but I don't do it for profit. It's not work.
I want to be a blue mage.
I'm blue dabba-dee. I'm a blue mage. I'm a bard in real life. Oh, what music do you do? Oh, no, not that kind of bard. I just talk shit, and it hurts people, physically, not mentally. vicious mockery, you suck. So what else is going on? They announced an Amazon...
Fire truck's going by.
Fire truck is going by. How you dern? I saw that they are doing an animated series on Amazon called Invincible. And it is based on a comic by Robert Kirkman, who did The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead, yeah.
And so it's like, imagine, like, Young Justice looking kind of animation, and it looks like maybe it's going to be a kid-ish kind of cartoon, like young adult, like older teens.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, some dudes get, like, ripped in half, and it's very clearly, like, not for children. So think of, like, trying to combine, like, the non-edge of little kid stuff, but also the edge of The Boys, and, like, whatever the middle would be. But it looks all right. But here's what really got me and a lot of other friends involved. The voice cast is absurd. So it's like headlined by Steven Yeun and J.K. Simmons. Cool, that's great. But then we got Sandra Oh, Mark Hamill, Seth Rogen, Gillian Jacobs, Andrew Reynolds, Zazie Beetz, Walton Goggins, Jason Mantzoukas, Mae Whitman, Chris Diamantopoulos, Carrie Payton, Zachary Quinto, Kevin Michael Richardson, who else? There's a whole bunch of people. Mahershala Ali is in there. Ezra Miller. Nicole Byer, Jonathan Groff, John Hamm, Justin Roiland.
That's just everyone. You said everyone.
And it's like mad diverse too. But it's cool to see like Steven Yeun getting more like leading roles, and J.K. Simmons is just a delight anywhere he's at. So
yeah, he can stay regardless of where he is.
Yeah, so, you know, it looked like it'll be all right. I think it's going to release like the first 3 episodes on March 26th, and then like weekly after that. So. I don't know. It looked fun. I'm excited for it. Hope it's good. And
yeah.
I don't know if y'all care about that. I like superhero fiction to see what, like, non-Marvel ideas are of it. But I'm appreciating to see what Marvel is doing with their comics now. Because, like...
I was going to say, I will appreciate anything, like, non-Marvel or DC just to, like, kind of, you know, liven up the, diversity. Yeah.
Yeah. I am, though, continuing to enjoy watching WandaVision because it's like, hey, what if we took these characters and the setting and... you know, did something slightly different, you know, instead of just doing Avengers toned, like, this doesn't feel like...
Yeah, it continues to feel fresh.
Yeah, the stuff around Wanda at least doesn't feel like Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff, like, the stuff in outside of WandaVision land is kind of like that, but still not quite as much as the movies were, so it still does feel fresh in a lot of ways, and I'm not going to really get into spoilers, but this most recent episode continued to be great. I still really much, really enjoy it. I think you do too as well, right?
I do. I very much do. Interesting thing that someone on Twitter pointed out, I don't know if you saw this, but this episode was the first episode to have a mid-credit scene.
Yes, this was the first time they did the Marvel Stinger.
Yeah, and if you look at the way that they've been doing, like, jumping ahead a decade in, like, filmography every episode, the 2000s was when the first... was when the MCU started.
That makes sense, yeah. That
so
fits.
That's why there's a... So that
that's
now...
actually that's actually a pretty interesting thing to do, then.
Yeah,
like,
so
way.
Now they've added the stinger, like...
Huh,
so
I like that.
I thought that was very subtle and interesting. Like, I hope it was that way on purpose, because that's just a cool little Easter eggy kind of nugget.
Yeah, because the way that the show's formatted, they didn't have to do it that way. And it's not like in the Marvel Cinematic Universe where the Stinger is something that's pretty unrelated to what happened in some form or fashion, where it wouldn't make sense to make that cut, but the Stinger, again, no spoilers really, is like, oh, this is directly tied to what's happening right now. It's not like they jumped across the universe to be like, also, Groot's here. And then I wanted to see in the credits, you know, they credit all the songs that are in the show, like the theme tunes, but the song that's important to this episode, I'm like, oh, I wonder, like, who was involved in that, and it's in the credits, but, like, these are, like, 7 minute long credits, so it's, like, at the end, and it has a blank in it, like, the spoiler information is, like, just a blank line, because, like, we don't want this to, like, leak on an OST or something.
Yeah,
it has, like, an underscore, like, a long underscore of what the thing is. I'm like, oh, that's nifty, like... I mean, obviously, if you're in the credits, you know what it is, but, like, we're not taking chances. You know.
That's so smart.
Yeah, it's just a funny little thing that they didn't need to do, but it was cool. Yeah, watch WandaVision, and if you're just waiting for it to be over to catch up, good luck to you, because this shit is actually pretty fun. Speaking of fun and Disney+, my partner and I watched the Disney+ show Flora and Ulysses today, which is awesome.
Was it cute? It's based on a Kate DiCamillo book, I think.
It's based on a book. I don't know who did it, but I'm sure you're right, because you know books. so if you're wrong, then I'm wrong too, but it's based on a book, yes. And it was very cute. I'm not going to sit here and say it was this masterful work of art, but it was a kid's movie. It was adorable. The all the duck children from DuckTales are in this movie. just happens to just be characters in this movie, with more than like one speaking line, and two and a half of them are, like, central characters, but, yeah, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and Webby's, yeah, voice actors are in this, and Ben Schwartz is the dad.
Like... Oh, I was gonna say, you meant, like, the characters themselves.
No.
Yeah.
The actors are just straight up in the movie, but also, at one point, someone has a comic book of DuckTales, so the characters are seen in the movie, which is kind of a nice touch, but Danny Pudi, Kate Micucci, Ben Schwartz are in there, and then, I don't know his name, the guy that voices Louie is in there as well. Yeah,
also Louis guy.
And it's just funny. I want just hearing Ben Schwartz, just he didn't straight up play himself again this time, but his voice is just his voice. I'm like, oh, that's Sonic and like Dewey. That's great. Yeah, I recommend it if you want to watch a nice cute kids movie and you're looking for something else on Disney Plus. And
nice.
In a way, speaking of Sonic, I watched Sonic with some friends for the first time over Discord. It was their first time. And the product placement is just as not sold as it was before, but... But we did most certainly family. But we did a double feature, and the second movie we watched was Willy's Wonderland. starring
Nick
Cage.
Was that the
Cage.
One with Nick Cage?
You're damn
was
right.
Was it any good?
I will...
Was it, I mean, like, enjoyable?
I will tell you what the review that our friend sent us was today. Like, give me a small second. I'm not gonna look for it. The review basically said, look, I'm not going to say this is a good movie, but everyone should go watch it right now. And I agree with that statement, and it was a transcendent experience that was so much fun. For those that don't know, the plot is, this may sound familiar, stop me if you've heard this before, Nick Cage, his car gets put out of commission, and they tow him, and they're like, well, seems like you can't pay, so how about this, you know, you work here at this Chuck E. Cheese overnight, and your car and stuff will be ready in the morning. And he's like, yeah, cool, fine. And the trailer will show you that Nick Cage's character chooses not to speak this whole time, and does not seem perturbed when the animatronics come to life and start trying to kill him. And some of the lore in this movie, it just straight rips off Five Nights at Freddy's. Some of it doesn't, but some of it is just straight up, oh, that's from, like, the third FNAF game.
I mean, I wonder how much... Is it, like, does it feel like it's genuinely ripping it off, or does it feel like there's only so much you can tell, like, variety of story you can tell with, like... the animatronics and Chuck E. Cheese are haunted?
So, the story, I will say no. But just, like, a couple plot points are. I don't care about spoilers on this, because it's all dumb. You've all seen this before. But the animatronics are coming to life because there was, like, this serial killer cult that had got this place for the sake of luring families in there to kill kids and families. And when the cops find out, the killers... decide to do a ritual sacrifice to transfer their souls into something non-living. So now they possess the animatronics and are deciding to kill people. And that's kind of like, I think, one of the villains from Five Nights at Freddy's, like, put themselves into an animatronic on purpose to kill people. But I mean, that's,
gotcha.
Again, that's not super impossible to come up with, but it just felt like, oh yeah, this is... Oh, yeah, this feels like just
sure
that.
Is that.
But at the same time, there's only so many... FNAF told almost every animatronic is bad story, so, like, I'm not going to say that they owe him royalties or something, but the movie was just a delight to watch. It was, like, really badass. It's classified as a horror, but there's only, like, 2 minutes of, like, genuinely creepy stuff in the middle, and it's still not scary because of, like, you know what's going on in the movie, and just Nick Cage is just this badass, and it's just, it's an absurd movie, and I think you'll enjoy it. That's what makes it funny, because his character is no-selling it. Like, it's not like it's just Nick Cage not being afraid. It's this character is just like, oh. Like, the first animatronic of the movie, I'll do this small spoiler. He's, like, clean and mopping up, and he turns around, and it's just standing in front of him. And he looks at it like, excuse me, like, what are you doing? And it tries to attack him, and he just starts beating the shit out of it. So it's like, oh, he wasn't worried at all. And he just keeps, he's determined just to do his job, which makes it hilarious to me, so I really recommend it to everyone.
Nice. I'm, like, in a, like, comedy horror kind of vibe right now, so I'm...
It's so funny. It's... I think his goal, nice. Like, he grunts and yells and stuff. I think his goal is to see how much scenery can I chew with no real words, or, like, trying to speak, you know? But it was good. Just a few miscellaneous things. Post Malone's doing a Pokemon concert. Apparently there's a big enough overlap audience that made sense to Game Freak. And you know what? Go for Post Malone. The dude deserves a smile every now and then. yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Post Malone has songs that are appropriate for children. I don't know if he says anything vulgar or, like, suspect in Circles or Sunflower. But, like, I know he always used to rap about benzos. So, like, that's probably not great.
Probably not going to make the cut for this one.
The Harry Potter game is still a whole bunch of bullshit. The lead designer used to, like, make a bunch of Gamergate videos and, like, have, like, anti-social justice websites and stuff. It's just a bad look. I don't...
Yeah, I'm gonna say, I mean, like, I guess they couldn't... Like, I wonder if they, like... I mean, if you were being offered a job on the Harry Potter game, you would know that it was the Harry Potter game, right? Like...
As the lead developer, if, like... maybe.
Yeah, because I'm trying to figure out if, like, it was it that they sought this guy out for, like, some reason from some other things that he's done that aren't, like, not specifically because, like, he's also a transphobe kind of thing, or was he the, like, he who they could get because everyone else with, like, morals was, like, eh.
He may have just been somebody working at the company, and they're like, that's, you're our designer. Yeah, I don't feel like they sought out, like, because that's such a bad look that even if you're like, look, we don't care that you did that, but this is already, like, a cursed project. I think it's just a coincidence, but completely unsurprising. And look, I'm not going to say people can or can't change, but I doubt it. I've seen nothing to think the contrary. Again, there's no need to support this Harry Potter game anyway. Now there's another reason not to. I hope the dude has changed and got better, but...
I feel like at this point, like, don't even pirate it. Like, what we need to do is make it so that Harry Potter does not, like... exist as a strong, like just like the very like peak end of like fucking read another book, like make it so that what happened to Game of Thrones is what happens to Harry Potter.
Yeah,
like where it is so cursed by JK's racism and transphobia and everything else that like that despite enjoying a great chunk of it, you never want to talk about it again because it left the ending left such a bad taste in your mouth kind of thing.
We deserve all the slander as millennials from Gen Z if we keep supporting fucking Harry Potter. Play another game.
Play another game, like look into different types of media. Like there are things out there that are wizardy and like
see a different movie.
Yeah. Cooler wizards than the ones in Harry Potter. Yeah. I still think wands suck ass. So.
I like wands, but yeah.
Bro,
look, you're not going to sit here on this podcast and slander magic wands, okay? Because look, I'm somebody who cares about the fine work of...
Hitachi Corporation?
Yes.
It's not that kind of... Like, that kind of magic wand, I'm sure, is fine.
Bro, that's how Randy Pitchford gets to see his magic.
I don't know. I don't know what was in that video that he claimed was magic.
We dunk on this man every week. I think we might get a season assist.
Yeah, fuck him. Fuck him.
Yeah, we got some movie news. And this is how we transfer to Steph's big topics. Tell us some good shit.
Well, not that it's the best.
Tell us some shit.
I'm just going to tell you some shit. Neutrality has been like, we are the fucking just Switzerland of news this week. I feel like just...
Yes, we love chocolate.
We love chocolate. We wear really crazy uniforms, and we all have machine guns.
Two of those things are true. It's up to you to figure it out.
Two movie things happened this week. One was a Wednesday Addams. I think it was a show. Or a TV or a movie, one of the two was announced. Either way,
By Tim Burton. By
Tim Burton, and a Cruella De Vil movie starring like origin story movie starring Emma Stone, and so the like Wednesday Addams, like I like Wednesday as a character. She's cool. Like she's like a fucking like goth icon. Like, and I mean, I guess so is Tim Burton, but like
he has gotten he's gotten so bad though, like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory or whatever it was, and like the fucking Alice in Wonderland stuff that he directed.
That's wild. It will be a Netflix TV show, by the way.
Terrible
Netflix TV show. Okay, yeah, it's just like here's the thing: is Tim Burton doesn't think black people work in his aesthetic.
Yep,
and that's. I'm over it. Like, it's time for you to, like, you're a bad director if you can't, like, work with real people in your character designs.
Just think about saying, my aesthetic includes, like, the darkest of darks and all kinds of blackness, including people. Well, no, that's where I draw the line at black, is the people, like, wait, hold on, dog, like, ugh,
what a mess. His aesthetic at this point is just, like, quirky. Is like the whole point of it, like quote unquote shit. Quirky, like in a bad way.
Like, I definitely have seen people saying, like, you know what, like, Gomez Adams has been Latino in, like, the cultural mindset for, like, decades at this point. Like, cast a brown girl as Wednesday. But, like, I also don't know if, like, if Tim Burton could do that any justice. I don't know. Like, probably I just not. Say, like, and, like, the additionally, like, why is, and, like, I get all up in my feelings sometimes regarding, like, who, like overly gatekeeping who's allowed to tell what kind of stories, like, from a book perspective, because that's just my eternal real life. But, like, why is Tim Burton the one show running a Netflix TV show about a teen girl at school? Like, is there not a single female director out there who it's could true. Do this
nope.
in a way that, like, actually, like...
Women don't direct stuff. What do you mean?
It's also going to be, like... Netflix. I mean, like, you also know that, like, the majority of this film is just going to end up being, like, weird CGI that doesn't look all that good.
It's a TV show, Eric. It's going to be a lot of nonsense.
Great. Cool. It'll be a bunch of, like, low-budget CGI, then.
Also, like, has Tim Burton ever done a TV show?
I don't think
so. At least get Brian Fuller. Like...
Yeah, I feel like we could be getting better white dudes if we don't want to give other people a chance, and we're like, no.
No, we're just gonna keep giving the same white dudes a chance. But yeah, so, like, I'm kind of over that, and the same is true with the Cruella de Vil movie. Like, there are so many Disney villains who have compelling backstories about, like, being betrayed and, like, being, like...
Not
cast out
puppies.
For like yeah like being cast out for like something like potentially queer coded or like whatever, but like Cruella de Vil's whole backstory is she and Anita went to school together, and then when they grew up she became a person who wanted to kill puppies so that and make a coat out of them and try and thought that her old school buddy Anita was gonna
be cool
willing to sell her puppies to her insane former classmate. Like,
cool backstory, bro.
Like, that's not even like a like cool motive still murder. It's just murder.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even like cool motive. It's just you're a weirdo. Like,
yeah. I mean, it would be I wish they would have kept it to be the like how Cruella de Vil and her son were brown in The Descendants. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be cool if they do that again.
The Descendants was a very enjoyable movie.
Yes, it was.
Movie trilogy, in fact. The whole thing was enjoyable.
My favorite part about the first Descendants movie is when it just stops to be a music video for 5 minutes. the transition is horribly clunky.
That is every Descendants movie, my guy.
I didn't watch past that. I've only seen that and Liv Maddy as far as Dove Cameron projects go. She's pretty alright actress.
Yeah, I've seen all three Descendants movies, and there's an even more dramatic. In the third one, there's like a they're like in like a fucking stairwell, like flashing back to like not only things that happened in other movies, but things that happened earlier in that movie that betrayed their friendship. It's a whole lot.
I love it.
It's very good. But anyway, like Cruella de Vil is not. Cruella de Vil is compelling because, one, she has a good theme song. Like, you can't underestimate the
power of a good theme song.
Power
for
of
a
good
villain.
Theme song for a villain. But also because she is just absolutely insane and unrepentantly evil. Like, Ursula is a compelling villain because clearly there was some more shit going on between her and Triton, and like all like there's something more there. That could be dug into. Cruella de Vil literally just wants to skin dogs.
Yeah.
For a coat.
For a coat.
That's like not even for like a bunch of coats or a line of coats, just for her coat.
Yeah, and like that's like real world like kind of horrible shit. Like it's not the worst thing in the world, I suppose, because you know there's like tons of people dying en masse, but you know what I mean? Like that's like a real thing that could happen versus Ursula who's like, yo, I mean, you shouldn't do this, but, like, if you give me your voice, I'll let you walk on the land. Like, it's a bad idea, though, but, like, you can do it. And Arrow's like, yeah, I'll do that. And Ursula's like, okay, I mean, you sure you want to do this? Okay, cool. Make sure you show some ass. Like, sorry, body language.
Leg. Give him... How many legs does a human have? 8, right?
Yeah. 7 vaginas.
Imagine.
I don't know if that... I don't like that math. I think that math feels wrong to me.
8 legs, 7 vaginas?
I think that feels wrong. Like, how are the legs arranged? Are they, like, in a row? Or are they, like, in a circle?
In the comic, they're just kind of all there in a mass.
So that would imply, like, 9.
One,
like
or one large vagina.
One, yeah, like an octopus.
Oh, God.
Like an octopus mouth.
Don't you mean a monopus?
Yeah.
A single puss, yep.
It's 1 or 9.
I hate this.
Yeah, you know what? Me too.
But yeah, anyway, the thing about this trailer for the Cruella movie is that it looks kind of enjoyable. Like, it looks like trash, but like in a fun way. Like, if I don't have to pay anything extra to see this on Disney Plus, I will see it. Like, someone made a joke that was, I think it was my roommate, was like, well, it's really brave of them to cast an Asian woman as Cruella de Vil.
When did Emma Stone do Yellowface?
In The Descendants, I think, or, like, some movie about being, she played some, no, not the Disney one, but, like, the George Clooney one.
Oh, okay.
Or, like, something about, some biographical thing about a woman in Hawaii who was actually like half Chinese, half Hawaiian.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes.
And when Sandra, yeah, when Sandra Oh hosted the something, like one of the awards shows, and someone said like, and like she made a joke when she was like, it was like the first Asian American to be nominated for this award since Emma Stone, and you heard Emma yell out from the crowd, "I'm sorry."
Oh yeah, I remember that.
But yeah, I mean, Emma Stone's very nice to look at, and
it's true.
She's absolutely chewing up the scenery. But it really, it's like, I don't know where this like gaslight girl boss thing has been coming from. Like, I've seen like this meme of like people doing like I don't know, but like that's what it feels like. It's like the trailer is framing it as her like breaking the glass ceiling
of villains,
of being an insane businesswoman.
I mean,
like,
good, I guess. I mean, all like, these Disney movies are kind of doing that, fucking... though. Like they're doing like such like they're doing like performative feminism in all of them. Like, that's why Jasmine got a song in the Aladdin movie. Like, they added like a Nala song kind of in Lion King, and it sounds like that's what they're doing with this. And like, oh hey, Belle is like more reedy like stuff, like, but they're not actually like
she's even bookier than she was before.
Yeah, can you believe? I don't know. This feels in line with that, but I don't know. I'm not an authority on feminism. I found out. Also, I already knew that, but you know.
I just found this out.
I just found this out. But yeah, I mean, that's if it's free to watch, it'll be fun to do. So.
Yeah, so that's all I've got on movies, and like it's also a male director. So again, like. I genuinely don't think that there's a way to make Cruella develop. First of all, Glenn Close already played Cruella perfectly. But second of all, like, I don't know if there's a way to make a Cruella DeVille movie a compelling villain, like complex villain backstory in the way that like Maleficent was. Because of who Cruella is.
Yeah, I think
but
you just
But I feel
don't.
Like if it was gonna be, that probably a female director could have done it better than a male one.
Yeah, I'd imagine
likely.
That.
But
it's, yeah, most likely. I'll put those odds at like 99%.
Yeah.
What else we got? The Mortal Kombat movie is coming out. There's a trailer for it. It looked pretty cool. There were some costume redesigns. But it's going to be bad because Johnny Cage wasn't in it, so that sucks.
He'll show up.
He's not even in the like the cast credits or anything, so he might not be in the movie, which is a huge mistake.
It's
going to
be a surprise.
Yeah, because like Johnny Cage is like that mediocre white dude, but like everyone's aware of it, so it makes it funny because he's not aware of it, because he's an actor. Like, he's this actor in this fighting tournament who's kind of like can't really, really fight, but kind of can. but
they got rid of the rubber suit that I think they used for Goro, though, which is kind of sad because that was a very bad. I mean, it looked terrible, so whatever.
Yeah, but it looks like it'll be fun, and you know, I'm looking forward to it because the first ones were cheesy, and the story actually is cheesy in the current Mortal Kombat, so it looks like it'll be fun. And Jezebel posted that article that people are defending as a troll, which I think if it was a troll, it was a really shitty joke, because the joke was basically, haha, we're women, we don't really get video games, we thought Chun-Li was in Street Fighter, or it was in Mortal Kombat, haha, which I don't think is a very good joke, or
good joke to make,
if you were joking, which is, I think it's fair to make that mistake, because not everybody knows every video game thing.
Yeah, and like those like Street Fighter 2 and Mortal Kombat, like 1, 2, and 3 were all pretty contemporary with each other. Like, that's an easy mistake to make.
Yeah, like, so it's like, oh, this was just a troll, like a bait. I'm like, what was the bait like to get sexists to be sexist? Like, oh shit, we got misogynists to hate women. Like, wow.
Good job.
Wow. That must have been tough. I think it was a bad troll if it was that. Because it's not a very funny joke. But, you know, some people said it was very successful. So, hey, we are allowed to have different opinions. But,
nope.
I don't know. Steph, did you... Let's not just have dudes chiming in on this. Did you have any opinion on that?
I thought it... I was like... It was... I had the same kind of, like, is this a joke? Or is this bad? Like, or is this just embarrassing? Like, because Jezebel, like... It's not, like, reductress, you know? Like, it's not, like, something... Or, like, the Hard Times or something that has, like, a set... Like, an editorial mandate of satire. And, like, to my... Like, I was like, is this gonna be something like the Borowitz Report or something that's, like, underneath, like, a serious news outlet? But, like, this is the satire art, like, column of it. But, like, it read in a way that it was impossible to tell whether it was satire or genuine confusion that Chun-Li was not in this movie. And, like, myself as a person who does not super follow fighting games, I could probably not tell you who, like, I'm pretty sure I could maybe name, like, three people. Like, I don't know, is Ryu in which one? In Street Fighter?
Yes. Well, he's also, like, in Fortnite, but that's something else.
Well, yeah.
He's also Ryu is a Super Smash Brothers character, so...
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
no, that makes it more complex, because, yeah, Ryu just straight up is in Smash Bros., like, in Marvel vs. Capcom, and Fortnite now, and, like, other games. Like, that seems like a fair mistake to make. I don't think that you're, like, some stooge for making that mistake, so it's not clear to me that it's a mistake, you know?
Yeah, I just, like, I don't... Yeah, like, it's just, I don't know, like... And, like, there are plenty of women in the trailer, too, so it's like, are you... It's not even, like, you could have gotten mad about, like, some other, like, famous... Is Melina a Mortal Kombat character?
Yeah,
she was in... Wow, good job.
was she... Yeah, she was in there, but as a black woman.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because normally Jade is black, but her teeth weren't fucked up, and people were upset about that, which is... a fair nerd thing to get upset about, like,
yeah, that's like, maybe that's one of those things where it's like, well, like, maybe that is a storyline.
Yeah, it seems like a
little
bit, but they weren't like, why is she black? They were like, why are her teeth fucked up? I'm like, okay, like, we're making progress here.
This is progress.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, like, I don't, it just, like, it wasn't obvious enough if it was supposed to be satire, and if it wasn't and it was heartfelt, then multiple people at various levels in the same way. So, like, there was this whole kerfuffle is too nice of a word for it in publishing this week,
a super kerfuffle
that was more outwardly problematic than this, but, like, there's a similar issue of editorial lack of oversight, or, like, someone just let you post that kind of thing. Because there's this one literary agent who's been getting shit for, like, his name has popped up suddenly in a lot of discussions of, like, unprofessional conduct and, like, other accusations, and he had some very big name clients, including Angie Thomas, the author of The Hate U Give, and various other YA novels that have been on the New York Times bestseller list for the last, like, 3 years without dropping off. And the first, there was an article in Publishers Weekly about it, and the first draft that they posted in the, well, when the newsletter went out to my inbox, the header for the section of the newsletter said, "A hard week for a big agent," which is already a bad way to frame a conversation about a guy who's in trouble for doing unprofessional things.
Yeah. Like, it's also just like a bad, like, phrase. In yeah, general.
Like, it just feels like it, like, aside from just being bad at words, it's like, it's a hard time out there for Harvey Weinstein. Like, it's like, it no, that's not.
Like, it almost sounded like the name for, like, a bad, like, Skinamax show or something, too.
Right?
Like, a hard time for a big agent.
Like, it's just like, that's, it's the title. So bad. And then the original draft of the original draft of the article said, like basically was like the first, like, two paragraphs were about how we're basically, like, shaming Angie Thomas for dropping her agent who, like she's fired the agent who discovered her, and, like, she was plucked from obscurity by this guy, and, like, wow, way to, like, no, she doesn't owe anyone shit. Like, yeah. She was already gonna, like, she, when her book sold, it was, like, a 12-house auction, which is, like, insane. It got a starred review from every outlet that could give it a starred review. Like, this woman was gonna get a book deal regardless of whether
what, this no guy matter was what her agent did, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, I just, like, I had a tweet go semi-viral about it, so, like, it's very much on my mind, but, like, it's similar to that, in that, like, this Jezebel article, in which someone typed up this article, someone proofread this article, someone copy-edited this article, an editor read it for content, and they posted it, and no one at any point in that process said, should we Google what Chun-Li is from? Is it racist to say that a white male agent plucked a best-selling black female author from obscurity? Like,
yeah, could we either fact-check this or zhuzh it up a little bit to make this, like, a yeah. little better? What a oof week. But there was some fun this week, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing is there have been Fantastic Four rumors that they're casting it, but people are like, that doesn't make sense that this started because the person should still be working on Spider-Man 3. People hinted Jennifer Lawrence as the Invisible Woman. It's like, yeah, I guess as we're moving out of the Chris Pratt era to the lots of girl boss stuff, like a lot of women leading the MCU.
Yeah.
Like with Monica Rambeau, Wanda, and Darcy. Like, we need another problematic fave. So, like, can we have instead of Chris Pratt? Why not Jennifer Lawrence? Not quite
at
as problematic.
At least if she's she's the Invisible Woman, we don't have to look at her for time.
That was going
to
be my joke.
Not to objectify women, but, like, looking at Jennifer Lawrence wasn't the problem. It's
that's just true. She was saying. It's listening to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's not playing a character that's, like, the quiet woman or something, because that would be extremely problematic. So
the quiet woman starring fucking Jim from The Office. I forget his name.
I was gonna say it's like, I mean, there is a video game called The Quiet Man or whatever, the Hush Hush Boy.
Yeah, sure.
But
well, I thought that fucking John Krasinski was one of the people who was being thrown around as Reed Richards.
I mean, I'd buy that. If they're gonna keep him being a white dude, why not have it be John Krasinski? I'm fine with that.
I have no other argument against that.
I'd rather it be, like, brown people, but if it's not going to be, like, I haven't seen John Krasinski, like, do anything terrible. I'm not going to rule it out, but I haven't seen it yet. Fuck it, make it Steve Carell. Who cares? I don't care. It's Fantastic Four. cast of Always Sunny, like people are joking about. Yeah, video game news this week. It's our big video game, so I guess
it's our big video game.
It's our big video
it's
game.
It's our
character
big video
reveal.
Games. I'm buckled up.
Yeah,
it's a four-player game.
I'll start real quick with just the non, like, immediate video game news.
Yeah,
I've regaled you guys with, you know, stories about Hololive and, like, VTubers and stuff, and Hololive being, like, one of the two large agencies doing it.
Yeah,
they had another concert this week. that I did not watch because it was too expensive.
$60.
Yeah. $60 for, like, a you get to view this concert, like, for, like, X number of days is, like, not cool to me.
That's fair.
But they did have some big announcements where, like, they are expanding into a, like, multimedia company. So that they're going to be, like, making an anime of the characters.
I like it already. Like,
yeah, and, like, potentially expanding into, like, video game appearances. And, like, they've already had a couple video game appearances.
Put Hollow Live in Smash, you cowards.
Yeah, fuck it. But, It one of the other things they're doing is they're expanding their English market, and they're doing a second generation of English idols, or, like, whatever you want to call them, VTubers, characters.
Sure.
So those auditions are open through sometime in March, I believe. So if you feel like you can do that, get out there and apply, you know.
Man, I don't know what I would do, but I feel like it's time to...
Time to do it.
Time to do it.
It still kind of sucks, though, for anybody who... Like, they, you know, they say they will not discriminate based on gender for hiring purposes, obviously, but they also then, in the same posting, say, like, HoloLive is an all-female idol agency. So,
The character, that doesn't say anything about the employees, just the characters, right? So, yes. You know,
Yeah, and that's the point of what they're trying to say about it, but at the same time, like, considering how much these people stream and, like, the amount of performance you're expected to give, like, if you can't convincingly do a female presenting voice for, like, extended amounts of time, like, you're not gonna make the cut
probably. It's time to break the molds.
Yeah, which is sad for people like me who are like, oh man, that'd be a fun thing to give a try to, but I'll just have to wait until they finally bring the Hollow Stars, the male branch.
That's what we have to make our own.
Yeah, I'd be down for that
with Blackjack and Bookers.
But cool.
Charles Booker for Canada, for Kentucky.
The one thing I am kind of, like, confused about, though, with, like, the anime is, like, so the characters, when, like, they start, kind of all have, like, you know, when they start streaming and everything, they kind of have, like, a theory or, like, a story behind their characters when they introduce them.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, nowadays, if you watch their streams, that ain't it. Like, I can think of very few of them have kind of, like, kept their original character, like, design or, like, you know, concept.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of curious what they're gonna do with the anime with that, because, like, if the same, like, talent is voicing the characters, which I feel like they would have to, it's just gonna be very different and weird, because I don't think you can have an anime about a horny pirate girl.
Like, why do you think that?
You know what? You're right. You could have that.
I was going to say, I feel like I've already watched
that's
one.
That's, like, the easiest thing. That's, like, easy mode, bro. Like, it's like the Bring Me the Booty Girl or whatever. Like, that pirate picture. I don't know. I've seen that as a GIF.
But, yeah. It's interesting. But I'm just glad to see that, like, that they are kind of expanding in a way and, like, seeing enough popularity in English-speaking audiences to expand there as well. Like, you know, nice. Kind of gives me hope for more stuff in the future for, like, everyone in general, like, not just them but other companies too.
Cool. That's great that you have hope, because I've just lost hope in a lot of companies, because I watched BlizzCon this weekend.
Hey, I watched it and the Nintendo Direct. Let's talk about both.
Yeah, so
let's talk about those.
I have, for the sake of this audience anyway, but, you know, you two and our audience, I have less to say about BlizzCon, so I'll just go with that real fast, really quickly.
And I've only got a couple of thoughts on it, too.
What'd you say?
I said I've only got a couple thoughts on it
as well. I watched the stuff for Overwatch 2. The one thing they had on Friday, it was like 45 minutes of it, which really made the game look good. They're experimenting with a lot of new tech that lets them, like, rig cutscenes really quickly, or there's, like, new cloth stuff, weather things and all that. Like, all the little things that make a game good. Like, they said, oh, we want the weapons to sound, like, better based on where you're at. So we, like... For example, Soldier 76 has a pulse rifle kind of thing. So they just took, like, a machine gun, like, out to the desert, like, shot it, like, near cliffs, and then they shot it, like, near, like, tin walls. So, like, when you're running around, like...
Have better sound design.
Yeah, like, so, like, you can hear his gun, like, the echo sounds different depending on where you are on a map. And I'm like, nobody asked for this, but it's really cool. So, like, how does
that
work?
It's nice that you did that. Like...
Yeah.
Which is cool with people who have guns. Like, they had a guy shooting a sniper rifle. But what about Lucio, whose gun is a speaker, goes like, boo, 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 boo. Like, how do you make that sound real? It doesn't matter.
We devised new techno drops to add to Lucio's gun.
We called Skrillex. But they talked a lot about, like, the skill tree stuff that they're going to add to the player versus environment stuff. So, you know, like, the non-player versus player stuff. And it looks really, really great. And I'm excited to play this game, but it's just like, could you make Overwatch 1 not be on life support anymore? Like, or just, like, give us Overwatch 2? Because, like, Sojourn's there. She's a cool black character. She doesn't have a robot arm like I thought. It's just a gun that she puts her arm into, like Samus or Mega Man. Samus, I guess. Not Mega Man. Mega Man
is a robot.
Yeah, his transforms. But, but it looked really fun. They talked about balance stuff. And it looks really cool. And I'm looking forward to playing it. It's just... They showed us something cool. It's not what I wanted them to talk about, though. But it looks like it'll be worth the wait when it comes out. And you saw
that's always
stuff,
the hope with, yeah, that's always the hope with Blizzard properties, because they are very slow in putting anything out, and you have to hope that the wait was worth it.
It looks like it will be. It's just like, it's not addressing the problems that we have.
Yeah.
That's all. It's not fixing what we need to be fixed, but it's going to give us something else nice, you know?
Yeah. The two things I paid attention to were Blizzard's other two IPs. So Diablo had a, like, bigger announced, like, trailer for Diablo 4, as well as, like, a trailer for a specific class, the Rogue, which looked pretty good. That game looks good. It's a Diablo game. I'm gonna play it eventually.
I was gonna say, it's just,
But the bigger thing was they kind of did a, you know, like, this had been rumored so much, but I know probably a couple months back, a couple episodes back, maybe we had a discussion about Activision merging one of their core teams that does, like, all of the remasters, like the Crash remaster, Spyro, all that stuff, into Blizzard. And it's because that team, as we had a conjecture, is making a Diablo 2 remaster.
Okay.
Or remake. And Diablo 2 being one of my favorite games of all time, I am excited for that. I will, you know, try to temper my excitement because of the way that the Warcraft 3 one went. But, and also because Blizzard. But
it's always because Blizzard.
But, you know, like, it has the potential to be a very good remake or remaster or however you want to call it. And then additionally, they had a couple of World of Warcraft announcements.
Sounds like they were awesome.
Yeah.
Based on how you're laughing.
Well, like, so they did the thing where they're like, hey, Burning Crusade Classic servers, which, like, that's the first expansion. So, like, they're doing kind of what people thought they would, where eventually on their Classic server, that's just the original World of Warcraft, you'll get the option to migrate your character to a Burning Crusade server or stay on the Classic server and kind of, like, continue playing in either direction. I don't care. I don't have as much nostalgia for Burning Crusade because it was just a time in my life when, like, my friend group that was playing it kind of fell apart in a specific way that made me never want to play it.
Understandable.
So,
totally understandable.
So and, like, I don't know, like, it's one of those things where, like, people are very excited about it, and, like, but I don't think it's gonna, you know, like, revitalize WoW ever. Like it didn't with vanilla, like, with the, you know, the Classic server in the first place, and it's not going to now. But, you know, some people are happy about that. And then, like, their main game announcement was just, like, the next patch. It was just
nice.
Nice. It's just like,
it.
Here's what we're doing in the next patch. It's a new raid. It's like, yeah, we fucking figured. And, like, they had a panel discussion about, like, I think it was taking audience questions or something. But somebody had asked about, like, further customization for the character models. And they basically got shut down in, like, such a way that it was like, man, fuck you. Because, like, that's one of the biggest things about World of Warcraft is, like, its character customization options are weak. And that's even after they just redid all of them for the main races in the game for, like, this current expansion. So,
well,
like, just
I heard
to hear...
Final Fantasy 14 is pretty cheap. That might be a good alternative.
Hey, yeah, you know, like, it's on sale right now.
First 60 days.
Yeah, and the first 60 days are free. The first 60 levels are free. But yeah, it's, you know, I kind of fell off the current WoW expansion hard, and I'm probably never going to go back. The only thing that, like, Blizzard is really doing anymore that makes me care is Diablo stuff. Because Lord knows I'm never going to care about their arcade collection they just put out. So, like, Dom, were you even able to name a, like, Blizzard arcade game without seeing this collection?
No, I didn't see it. They have the one with the three Vikings, right?
Yes, yeah, but Lost Vikings.
Well, yeah, but I only know that because they're a playable character in Heroes of the Storm.
Right.
And I only know that because they made us play it to get some skins in Overwatch they eventually released outside of it, so I know it for no reason.
Yeah, and like, the only reason I know about Lost Vikings is because I played it on the Genesis, because it was, like, a home console release as well. And, like, I didn't even really know that it was an arcade release, or an arcade port, like the Genesis game was. And then the other ones were Rock and Roll Racing and Blackthorn.
Rock and Roll Racing!
And, like, I know some people had, like, a soft spot for Rock and Roll Racing, and, like, sure, whatever. But, like, Lost Vikings is kind of a bad game, and Blackthorn is such a, like, a nothing game that I cannot believe that they were like, we're proud to present our arcade collection, these three games.
Blizzard thinks that they tell people that something's exciting, they will believe them, but it's like, a lot of us are new here, man. Like, you didn't get us on the World of Warcraft stuff, so, like, we're not going to just eat up what you give us.
But, yeah, and I mean, that's the thing, is even, like, people who are probably modern, like, modernly playing, like, World of Warcraft or StarCraft or Warcraft or any of the stuff, Overwatch,
Watchcraft.
Don't Watchcraft. They don't know about Blizzard's Overcraft, like, quote unquote classics. Like, they don't know that they were a developer before, like, those games.
Oh yeah, so, they used to do a whole bunch of other stuff, and then yeah, life happened.
So it's just one of those, like, man, like, I know that, like, this is, like, a 30th anniversary for them this year, I think. So, like, I know that they're trying to put out, like, this kind of classic stuff, but it's like, man, like, your classics weren't really great.
Yeah, like, don't remind people about
no
that.
One cares,
just
right?
Do something else. Yeah, yeah, this is a big anniversary year. This is the 35th anniversary of The Legend of Zelda, and
oh man.
So the Nintendo Direct was this weekend. Yeah, I don't know. They don't seem to know.
Yeah, so, they acknowledged it, sort of.
I think it would have been better if they didn't. I could left people guessing.
Would have been even funnier if they didn't.
Yeah, I think it would have been funnier. But I'll turn it over to you, Steph. Do you know anything about the Nintendo Direct? Because I know you don't keep up with this as obsessively as me and Eric do. It's not gatekeeping. That's just you're lucky to be free from this particular hell.
I mean, I was, like, waiting to hear from y'all how the direct went. I know that someone named, I think, Pyrrha and someone else from
Mithra. Pyrrha and Mithra.
Mithra.
It's the same person, technically.
Ah, okay, so it's like Robin, but there are eight Robins kind of thing.
Yes and no.
It's like Zelda and Sheik, more like.
Okay.
Yeah, except imagine instead of Sheik being also Zelda, imagine that, like, instead, if Sheik were a manifestation of Zelda's weapons.
Oh, so it's like in Bleach.
Yes, actually, exactly that.
So yeah, so I know about them. I'm mad, like, I'm fine, like, I have no feelings one way or the other about them being added. I'm still going to play as Pit, because that's the one character whose moveset I am comfortable with. I am bummed that it wasn't Sora, just because it would be funny to have Sora in the Smashverse.
That'd be great.
And that's the, like, him and Crash are, like, the only people that were talked about as possible adds that I have, like, any familiarity with, so.
It makes sense.
That's how I was feeling about that. I know that people talked about Skyward Sword getting...
Yeah, that was the thing that we were teasing about.
I don't know anything about it, except that it was, like, apparently the previous version of it was really shitty.
Yes.
In some way.
Controls.
All Wii U and Nunchuck controls. Apparently, yeah, it had potential to be a good game, but it was just a pain to control. But they
it was a Wii game?
Yeah. Yes. And it was... Sorry, it was a... The fact, like, of the matter with that game was that they were trying to show off their new, like, extension that they had for the Wiimotes to make the tracking better. So everything in it was like one-to-one movement with your sword.
So they ported. Now you can do that with a Joy-Con, or you can just play with a button setup, and like the right stick will do it instead of that kind of thing.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Which is
no
like
waggle. No waggle,
no waggle, needed. just aiming, which is also fine. But so yeah, that
feels
those are
to me like a
happened.
Pretty low stakes announcement for the 35th anniversary of your franchise. But go off, I guess
it is. A remaster of the original game would have made more sense to be like, you know that one you guys didn't really like? We tried it again. $60, well, please.
And also, like, the funniest thing about the announcement of the Skyward Sword HD remaster was, like, they brought out the director of the Zelda franchise, and, like, he straight
made
up
him
said,
say it?
Yes, they made him say it, and they also, he straight up started with saying, like, I know a lot of you got excited when you saw me that I was going to announce something about Breath of the Wild 2, but we're not going to talk about that today. And that is exactly what he said.
Like, oh my god.
I'm just glad that I don't care about this franchise more, which is not like a mark on the franchise, it's just not my cup of tea. I liked Breath of the Wild in the first Hyrule Warriors, but if another Zelda game didn't come out, I'd be sad, but it wouldn't affect my life personally. That said, yeah. I don't want that to happen. I want there to be more Zelda, because Link and Zelda are adorable.
And
not as a couple, as two people, I mean, but, you know.
It was just very, very funny, like, the way it was presented, because it was like, they then showed the trailer for the Skyward Sword remaster, and then, like, afterwards, he came back out and was, like, explaining why Skyward Sword was important, like, to the, like...
Is it?
He was like, he's like, you know, without Skyward Sword, we wouldn't have, like, the climb anywhere and the stamina meter or the paraglider. And it's like, yeah, dude,
you
like, sounds...
You put those in any game.
Sounds like, really, like, you're trying real hard to justify the existence of this bad Zelda game.
Yeah, but, so, especially when it could have been, like, a collection. Well, it could have been, like, Skyward Sword,
yeah.
like, Majora's Mask or Ocarina, and then, like, Link to the Past or something, and people would have been like, oh, okay, cool.
And like,
listen, if you threw all of those in like a package and said like, here it's $150, it would be way more likely for people to buy it as part of that.
Yeah. And I think that there is still some possibility of that happening, because I'm pretty sure they had like a specific Mario 35th anniversary Nintendo like Direct Mini last year.
Yeah.
So like, I think that it's still entirely possible.
That's
that,
when we got
like,
the limited edition fucking Mario thing that's going to delete itself in about a month and a half from now.
Yeah, exactly. So like, you know, I feel like there is probably some wiggle room for like them to come out and have like a Zelda collection announcement, or like, you know, maybe they put not Skyward Sword. Twilight Princess and Wind Waker on Switch
Twilight
as well.
Princess. Yeah, that's what I should have said. Wind Waker, Twilight Princess, and Skyward Sword could have been a package, and I think people would have been fine.
Yeah, and I think that, like, that's entirely possible. Like, it's you know, it was just a really awkward way for them to announce this one specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
In, like, what was also kind of already not exactly a super strong direct, and it was what they ended with.
It was, like, an hour long, too, wasn't it?
50 minutes, yep.
Yeah.
That's not what they ended with, though.
Oh, that's right. Well,
they ended
they
with
had
some
to,
magic. They
had
do
to
one
finish,
more thing.
They had to finish with something that was not Skyward Sword.
They knew that much. So they hit us with the one more thing, and it was, like, this apocalyptic setting, and turns out it was Splatoon 3, because they're doing thing where, like, the victor of the final Splatfest of the previous game has bearing on the next game's plot. So at the end of Splatoon 1, it was...
Chaos? Wasn't it Chaos?
No, yeah. At the first one, it was Callie versus Marie, and Marie won, so Callie became like a bad guy for something. And then this one was Order versus Chaos, and Chaos won. So Chaos happened, apparently. I just want Pearl and Marina to be lovely girlfriends, and I'm sure they'll be fine, because... they're great. But yeah, Splatoon 3 looked sick. There's lots of cool new weapons. There's like a crossbow.
They eliminated gender.
They eliminated...
Yeah, gender doesn't exist.
Yeah, they eliminated the word gender, which is pretty cool. I wish they would have did more and not just had like... I
just
appreciate
like gender
it.
Like the hairs apply to all...
Well, no, that's actually cool. They don't have be a boy or a girl. They just have style. But, like, it's just the same boy, girl, squid, and octopus that they had before. I wish they would have added, like, a couple more body types. So it wouldn't have just seemed...
That's how it is in
Let
Animal
me be
Crossing
a chunky
too, is, like, just style. But...
Yeah. And I'm not going to sit here and speak for, like, you know, trans people and say, this isn't good. It just feels like it's doing the thing we talked about before, where it's like, well, we don't actually want to do any real progress, but we want to do the bare minimum and just, like, put a sticker that says style over the word gender.
Yeah.
I want more, I guess, but I think this is a big step for Nintendo, though, because they're such not good about this stuff, but yeah. Like you said, they did add all the hairstyles and clothing styles, so, like, they have effectively done that, so I guess I'm contradicting myself.
Although I did see some grumpiness, isn't the right word, ire maybe, about the fact that there are still more hair colors than skin tones.
Yeah, like, you can get crazy with your eyes. Like, there's, like, three tones, eye colors you can pick, but, like, you can only be, like, ashy browns. And honestly, the white options aren't great, but there's not a lot of brown options, so it's like, do you want to be, like, dark chocolate or milk chocolate? I'm like, well, what if you're something in between? And they're like, what? That's not real. So that does suck, but I don't know. I'm just happy that there's brown characters at all canonically, especially like Marina's, or like a named character. But yeah. It looked fun. I can't wait to play. And people say, why do people care about Splatoon? That's like, no one's really excited about that. And people are like, yo, dog, this sold more than like some Mario and Zelda games in Japan. Like, they love it in Japan, and kids in America like Splatoon a lot. So,
yeah, children like it. Like, yeah. That's.
Yeah, and as far as, like, the art scene, though, like, it has a huge art community, so I think there's, like, more people that participate in that than in the game, because the style is amazing.
Who do you think do you think they'll introduce another duo of adorable idol characters?
I think they have to at this point, because music and bands are such a big part of the series anyway. Like, all the music in the game has, like, a band behind it. Like, we don't see them as much, but, like...
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember all their names, but there's, like a rockabilly kind of country band. There's, like, a techno band. Like, there's named bands in the game. So I think there will be another idol, probably duo. I don't know if they'll, like, split up into, like, a trio. That'd be interesting, but...
Yeah.
I imagine the Squid Sisters will be somewhere in the background. Pearl and Marina will be, like, leaders of some mission, and then, like... I mean, DJ Octavio will probably come back again, because he just keeps being the bad guy. I don't know what kind of... Maybe it'll just be two Octoling idols instead of two squids, or a mixed group, but
yeah, it was.
There'll be another like cephalopod like fish race of some sort.
It could
cuttlefish.
It could be like the salmon. Seeing as they're like in the story now, like your little buddy follows you around, like one of like the horde antagonists. So I don't know. I don't know what it'll be, but it should be fun. The music will continue to be good.
Other than that, there weren't like a ton of announcements in there. Just like
there was stuff that spoke to certain people, though. Like, I really enjoyed it. I know a lot of people didn't. But like, for instance, like Stubbs the Zombie, like, I don't know who that was for, but like, we got some more stuff for No More Heroes 3, and that looked cool.
Dude, I'm gonna sit here and defend Stubbs the Zombie for a second.
I'm glad you are, because that means like more people liked more
of
the stuff.
Someone was excited about it.
Yeah, so like that game in particular came out like at a very strange time, and it was like a very cool concept, because it was like you're playing as a zombie, and also had like a lot of really really good music in it, because it was all like punk bands and like ska bands covering like classic music. Yes, like 100%. There was like a very good cover of Mr. Sandman in there, like, and I'm kind of worried that they're not going to get the license to that music again, so we'll see. But yeah, there was that, like, for me was just like a little moment of, oh cool, like I'll play that again. And Project Triangle Strategy working title.
It's Octopath Traveler Tactics, like.
Yes, it is, but I'm super stoked for that.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking bad about it. I'm just saying that's what it is. I'm glad it's
I'm glad it's a thing. It was kind of what I hoped they would do with that property, and you know, I was just making fun of the title.
Oh, the title's awful. That's disgusting. They should do better. But yeah,
I hope they keep it.
There were other cool little projects, like Neon White was like this platforming card-based game. Let's see what happens. Plants vs. Zombies, third-person shooters coming up. Miitopia, you can become allies with a horse.
Miitopia, you can buy that game that nobody bought on the 3DS.
Ding, ding, ding. There's Mario stuff coming to Animal Crossing. That's pretty good. Some Star Wars thing got announced. Don't care. Knockout City. Go ahead.
The Star Wars game is a port of a mobile game.
Cool.
Just for anybody
who... It looked like it.
Yes.
It.
Yeah.
There's a game called Knockout City that is it's like dodgeball, like battle dodgeball on like rooftops.
It looked to me like battle dodgeball. Like it looked to me like the child of like Splatoon and Ninjala, but with dodgeball.
Yeah, with a little bit of like Fortnite gloss. I played the beta on the computer this weekend. There was a beta. It's an EA game. It seems all right. I think they need to work out some of the server stuff, but it seems like it'll be fun. Let's see what happens. World's End Club. I was watching the plot of it. I'm like, that looks like Danganronpa, and like from the developers of Danganronpa.
Yes,
like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited for that just because I like the art directors from
beautiful.
It.
Yeah. It looks like the Pokemon art a little bit.
Yeah. I'll you know, like I'll probably play that eventually.
Cool, cool. We'll tap you for that. The Hades physical edition's coming to Switch. That's dope as hell. DC Superhero Girls Teen Power had a lot of nerd boys pissed off, but it looks like it's cringe because we're fucking adults. We're not like teen girls. This is for like children. Like, yeah, of course it's cringe. Like everything for like 10-year-olds is cringe to adults.
It's cringe to adults.
But
yeah,
like it did look cute. And I'm like, oh, this looks like a competent beat 'em up. It doesn't look like shovelware. It's probably better than Avengers game that just came out.
the thing about it is also too that it's actually a Nintendo game.
That's really strange to me. That it should be Capcom or something.
Yes, so like that's why it looks probably a little bit better, and like I just know that like some of the discourse on like the, not like the, you know, shitty dudes about it or whatever, but like more of like the game industry side of it was like, whoa, Nintendo is putting themselves on this one, like that's impressive.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. That if we had more time, we'd talk about, but we don't because we've talked a lot. So I'd like to end on this, if you all don't mind.
Sure,
that is fine.
Is Mario Golf got announced?
Yeah. Oh man, fucking Wario's Drift.
That's why it's I wanted so to talk good. About it.
I can't wait to look. I've quit the con scene. I don't want to cosplay that much anymore. But man, if we ever go to a con again, I am dressing as that fucking Wario.
I want those pants. I already have the fucking Harley Quinn gold like Harlequin overalls from the Birds of Prey movie. But I want a separate pair of golden purple Harlequin pants.
Oh, I think man. They doled it out in such a good way, too. I think this was, like, a masterclass of a Nintendo trailer. Also, it sounded like it was narrated by Jane Lynch. But it started out like, hey, it's Mario Golf. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'm glad that exists. Like, I'm not hyped for it yet. It's like, look at all, like, the way the physics works. I'm like, yeah, it's Mario Golf. Like, I assumed you guys would do a good job. I hope it's better than Mario Tennis. And, like, and you can play with the Joy-Con. I'm like, yeah, I'm never going to do that. But it seems, like, good that you implemented your technology in this. And, like, that's not enough. What about a new mode? Speed mode. Yeah. I'm like, wait, what?
Dude, that speed mode looks awesome. It's kind of
so
like
so fun.
There's a game called like Thousand Foot Robot Golf that is kind of like the same, like has the same thing in it, and like it's super fun. So like I'm actually looking forward to that. Though I will say I was watching Giant Bomb talk over the like Nintendo Direct, and when it got to Mario Golf, it shows like a clip of Mario running down like the track, like the green with like an invincibility star.
Yeah.
Jeff Gerstmann goes, oh good, now you can be invincible while you play golf.
Like, yeah,
you never know what's gonna fucking happen on the green, man.
Right.
It looks like you all started this like at a starting line. You take your golf swings and then you don't have a golf cart, you just chase the ball.
Yes, you have to like get to and, your like, ball and swing
after
again
the ball.
Yeah.
It looks so stupid, but it's like, oh, this actually this actually looks kind of fun, so I look forward to play it. And then last but not least, obviously, the drip was out of control. Like, and someone pointed out...
Bowser is Guy Fieri. Like, it's so good.
Bowser's Mario Golf outfit, so good. But the thing that someone noticed is that Bowser has a consistent design trait in all the games. That's anytime where he's wearing clothes... His shoes have metal guards on them, so his feet don't like shoot out of them. Like
makes
anytime
sense.
They all have like the same spiked metal around the toe, which like
to keep his feet safe.
Yeah, like Odyssey, this game. Apparently, other times when he has shoes, like and especially when he was like that dad version in that ad they did for like when he was being like a good dad to Bowser Jr. So it's just kind of funny that like we don't know what's consistent in this universe, but Bowser's shoe game. A is drippy, and B, he has, like, spike shoes, but, and you can have a Mii, so they're bringing Mii's back, so. So, yeah, I like Mario Tennis and Golf, because, like, the characters always get, like, really cool drip, and it's cool to see them outside of there. It's the one time, like, the boys get to, like, wear costumes that aren't just overalls and stuff. And
it's,
of course,
it's the one thing that Waluigi's allowed to do.
Yeah, and he looks sick, like, as he always does. So I'm excited about this stupid-ass Mario Golf game. For not the reasons they assumed, but, you know. But yeah, that's another episode of Geekly Reveal. We did it. This one's a little bit longer, but...
We did it. Left me hungry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with it. I think we brought some news, some jokes, some crafty stuff to the listeners. But, you know, before we get too hungry, Steph, do you want to hit the social media biz before we get out of here?
Yeah, so if you want to find this podcast anywhere on the internet, you can try doing that. We're not going to be everywhere, but, you know, you can look.
You can look.
you
really
can find
look real
us.
Hard on DeviantArt, you might find us.
Yeah, I don't know, like, maybe there's someone out there on Reddit, like, but if you want to find actual us, you can find our home base at characterreveal.simplecast.fm. You can find us on Twitter at characterrev, on Facebook and Instagram at characterreveal. You can find us in your podcast catcher of choice. Sorry, a little burp there. Food adventures, man. They're just always happening.
It's that meat mountain.
My body's dreaming of the meat mountain. The worst thing is I'm gonna have to listen to myself say that again when I really listen to this episode for clips. but you can find us in the podcast catcher of your choice by searching for Character Reveal. You'll see the blue curtains, you'll know what's up. You can donate $1 or more to support us on a monthly basis by going to patreon.com/character reveal. We're gonna get some tiers up and running in the future, but for now it's just you know, helping out your cool pals who do fun things in your ears every week in a non-sexual way. Felt like I needed to clarify that because it came out a little weird.
It's on brand,
which, I mean, you know, I came out a little weird too, so
so hard to be quiet.
So hard to come out not weird, I must admit.
But yeah, so, and then you can find Eric on Twitter at Tindy Losey, me on Twitter at The Snow Queer, or no, on Tumblr, The Snow Queer. I was shocked at myself.
Oh no.
On Tumblr, The Snow Queer, Hello Steph on Instagram, and Captain Steph on Twitter. And you can find Dom at Brother Dom anywhere he wants to be found on the internet. I think that's everything. Man, my throat's dry. Jesus.
Drink some water, homie.
It's so hot in my room. It's steamy in my room because my stupid heater.
Is it really steaming in your room? Like, misty?
It is. It's not, like, misty far away, but there's, like, a mist coming out of my radiator, and I am right up against it. It's a lot.
Gross.
Well, let's finish this.
Let's just done. It's done. It's done. We're done.
Till next time. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.